Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
The Road Safety Authority's annual international conference has been taking place today in Dublin Castle, and the theme is distracted driving, particularly mobile phone use, a behaviour that continues to cause deaths and serious injuries on Irish roads. Joining me now is one of the keynote speakers from today's event, Associate Professor of Psychology at the University of Galway, Dr. Ciarán Sarma. Thanks for coming in, Ciarán.
Thanks, Ray, for having me.
How was the conference?
Very interesting. We had academics from across the world. We had police from the Netherlands. We had politicians speaking. And it was just very interesting to have a meeting of minds about what we can do about this very problematic behaviour on our roads.
Yeah. 20 years ago, this wasn't a consideration because the mobile phone, you know, wasn't as it is now. And it wasn't a computer. That's the thing, isn't it? And that's the big problem.
Big problem is, 20 years ago, it was about making and receiving calls. And now there's a million apps on each of the app stores, and they can do everything from monitoring our health to navigation, music, and so on. So, yeah, it's just much more complex. And on top of that, then it's integrating into different parts of our lives. So, for example, you know, you talk about putting away your mobile phone, but if you put away your mobile phone, you might still have your watch on. And if it's an Apple Watch, then you've got the same, pretty much the same functionality. Yeah. Or your phone might, as we were talking about today in the conference, integrate fully into the infotainment system in your vehicle and mirror it completely.
On the screen.
And so you still have the mobile phone on and with you and accessible to you, even though it's not your mobile phone.
Okay. Tell us about your research.
So in our research, what we were doing is trying to understand psychological processes that are involved or implicated in phone use while driving and what things we could do to try and reduce that risk. So that was kind of it. And I guess as an example, the kind of thing we were dealing with is, like, there's a good bit of research out there showing that even highly motivated drivers that want to leave down their phones and not use them in the vehicle and are incentivized to do so, what the research shows is that there's kind of a short reduction for a couple of weeks in their behavior where they don't use the phone, and then it regresses back to their baseline level of use.
Okay.
And that's drivers that don't want to use their phone. So it's kind of, we're trying to do is sort of tease out, well, what happens if, like, what are the different processes that are at play, and in particular, what role does things like smartphone dependence and habit form in that?
If you're dependent on your smartphone when you're not in the car, it's sort of logical that you're bringing that behaviour, that addiction, if you like, into the car with you.
Yeah, so, just dependence, really, because addiction is kind of a higher threshold.
Okay,
but I think we're probably all, to some extent, dependent on our phones. It's something that's always with us and it's always on. And the research says that if you leave your house in the morning and you've left your wallet behind, you won't go back for it, but you'll go back for your phone. So it's really important in our lives. And if it's there all the time when we're outside the car, why would it be any different when we're in the car?
Right. So that's not good news, is it? In that if it's the attachment is so strong, then to change the behaviour is going to be more difficult.
I'll have colleagues who will say that even unconscious processes can be changed through complex interventions. But the difficulty is that from the research we have, 70% of drivers on Irish roads will admit that they at least sometimes used their phone in the previous 12 months.
Right.
And you can't rule out an intervention to that many people, a complex intervention. So
no.
All you got to do is look for some kind of blunt force.
What is
process.
That?
Well, my argument is that probably I mean, we spoke to 32 young drivers, we spoke to experts, and we did a lot of research in terms of the international evidence. And it's all pointing to we need a very strong external motivating force, and that is sanction and detection. So drivers need to believe they're going to be detected and that the sanction for being detected is severe.
And just psychologically, if you engage in a certain behaviour and there's no sanction, the more you do it and the more you get away with it, the more you're likely to do it.
Especially if there's a reward involved. And when we use our phones, it's rewarding.
Right.
We're getting dopamine hits off it.
Yeah. This isn't scientific, Ciarán, but I went out for a walk at lunchtime.
Yeah.
And I walked down the N11 into Donnybrook Village and back up the other side. And I stared into people's cars. So I looked like a bit of a weirdo. So I don't know many cars. But I know that 11 people were on their mobile phones in 20 minutes. So two with mobile phones attached to the dashboard, and they looked to be, you know, interacting with them. I don't know what that was. Two were on the mobile phone, as in they had the mobile phone up to their ears. Three were looking down at the passenger seat. I just assumed that they had some sort of electronic device on that. Four with mobile phones in hand. not to the rear, but actually looking at it while driving. One agent appeared to be texting while turning left. So he had the mobile phone in his left hand and he was trying to turn left using his right hand on the steering wheel. At the same junction, another guy went through a very busy junction looking at his mobile phone. Two were holding it down out of sight, one in the right hand. 10 men, only one woman. So of the 11 people who were sort of, and all those are infringements of sorts, aren't they?
They are, yeah.
10 of them were men and one of them was a woman. Most of those were modern cars because I looked at the reg. So most of those would have hands free.
Yes.
So what are they doing on their phones?
Well, what drivers have said to us in our research is that, you know, well, it might look like they have hands free, but it's not Apple CarPlay necessarily. It could be some earlier version of that, and that can be clunky.
Right.
Our CarPlay can be clunky as well. And what they're saying is that it's easier actually to turn off the hands free and use the phone.
Okay.
Do you know? So they will give up on technology that isn't working well for them.
Right. And are people looking at emails?
So in the research that was commissioned by the Road Safety Authority in 2022, is 20% of people will read social media posts and take movies or pictures of themselves and post them at least sometime in the previous 12 months. So it's not even reading emails. They'll do that as well. But it's much more complex behaviours that people will engage in behind the wheel.
Right.
And those behaviours really, like, it's not like, because we often think, well, you're scrolling on your phone and you're touching the screen, but that's like a manual distraction and that's problematic. But then you're also, it's a cognitive distraction. Your mind is engaged in
the... Yeah, talk to us a little bit about that, because distraction is the theme.
Distraction is the theme.
And what's the definition then of distraction while driving?
Well, it's when your attention strays from your primary task.
Right.
Right. So what you're saying with the phone in particular, like, is... you're stopped on red is a scenario and you're stopped on red. You take the opportunity to pick up your phone to see what's going on. And you say, well, I'm not distracted because I'm stopped. Right. And so you scroll through your social media posts, whatever it is. And then you spot that the light has transitioned to green. And you say, my attention now is back on the road. But in fact, what the research is saying is that depending on how engaged you were, what you were doing on your phone while you were stopped on red, you could be distracted for up to 30 seconds after you've moved forward. And so there's an attentional blindness where you can see, but you're not processing and you're at much greater risk of being involved in a collision at that stage. So you're watching the road. But
my mother, a very wise woman, and she, I would say to her, I'm on hands free. And she said, it doesn't matter. I'm still distracting you.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I'm taking you somewhere else.
Yeah.
And I read that article today in the Irish Times by another psychologist from Trinity College saying that when you're on a phone call, although you're just chatting to somebody, it could be hands-free, they're not seeing what you're seeing. And they could be talking about something really emotional. There could be, a flashing light up ahead. They don't know there's a flashing light, so they don't know to shut up and give you a chance to concentrate. So that's a huge distraction in itself.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. What are the statistics, if any, about the number of fatalities caused by distraction?
And we spoke about this in the conference today. We don't have good data. We've good approximations. So the best approximation we have is that if you're on your phone when you're driving, you're at a fourfold increased risk of being involved in a collision. But the difficulty is that it doesn't differentiate between different types of behaviour. So if you're talking on the phone, obviously it's a cognitive distraction, as your mother said.
Yes.
Right? But like if you're sending a social media post while you're driving, it's unlikely to be a fourfold increase. It's likely to be much, much greater.
Yes.
And we spoke today, the guards were in attendance and gave a presentation. And they spoke about their intention to introduce new technology that after a collision, they'll be able to port into the vehicle system and download the Bluetooth, code and see what drivers were doing just prior to being involved in the collision. And that will give us better data.
Is that not available to them already?
I don't believe it is.
No, they would do. I think they can access phone records, so they would know if somebody was texting, for example.
Yeah, potentially. Yeah.
So now they'll have a full read on the phone activity of the person in the car.
Well, I understood from the presentation today, it's something they're planning will come on stream.
Yeah. I was just thinking about that, giving this an awful lot of thought. I would imagine that there are people listening now. Maybe I'm wrong. That have been on the phone to somebody. They've been in their kitchen or in the office or wherever the person's in the car, and that person was involved in a collision on the other side. They witnessed it aurally, not visually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very hard. I mean, well, we didn't talk about that, that, you know, the statistics around traffic collisions, behind that there is, and we talk about fatalities, like, but fatalities, there's this ripple effect victimization yes. pattern that comes from it. It's the family, the community, and the suffering that goes on is very profound. But beyond the 180 people that died last year, or something close to that in Ireland, there's thousands of less serious road traffic collisions where people are affected physically and psychologically by it. And it's not just them, it's, again, it's their families and their communities. So it's a real burden. Yeah.
Just before we get into back to enforcement and sanctions, just a little bit about the screens, because I did a little bit of research, because as I was actually walking down the road, a screen caught my periphery vision. It was that big in a car, which was like 20 metres away from me. And it was, I looked at the car and it was a Tesla. So I came back and I looked up the size of the screen. And I don't know which model it was, because I didn't get that. But the Tesla screens go from 15.5 inches to 18.5 inches on their on their trucks. And that's the size of a laptop screen in your car, but to the side. So it's taking you away from the road completely, because it's not only at the side, but it's lower than you should be looking out at.
Yeah.
Now, what happened there with us? And like, surely there's no legislation, so car manufacturers can do what they like, can they?
Well, interestingly, today, Euro NCAP were in attendance, and they briefed us as to their plan that by approximately 2026, the five-star rating will be determined in part by the infotainment system and the extent to which it causes a distraction on road.
And they're an umbrella group for safety in cars, is it?
So, well, they give the five-star NCAP rating, you know.
Oh,
so
right.
So it's going to be there's a good leverage there for them. But, I mean, there's pushback from the vehicle manufacturers, because this is their unique selling point: bigger screen, brighter screen, more functionality. So so that is, like, screen size is a problem. It is a visual distraction. But I think more importantly is what the functionality of the what the functionality has been now embedded in those devices. So,
yes.
For example, NCAP, they're leading out on this back to buttons initiative. And the idea is that, like, we've moved things, like, in some of the more modern cars, that to turn on your fog lights, you have to navigate through the infotainment system to find the correct button.
Yes.
You know, it's very problematic. And they're saying, well, the most commonly used functions in the vehicle should be analog, and you should be able to access them without taking eyes off the road.
Old school.
Old school.
Yeah. I'm a limousine driver. I do funerals most days, and the amount of bad driving I see each day, and I have to say, I'm mostly caused by people on their mobile phones. How a €500 fine and 3 points, that would stop a lot of car crisis and dangerous driving, says Noel. But of course, they have to be caught doing it.
Yeah.
While cycling home, standing at a junction, I've witnessed drivers turning through a T-junction with their face looking down onto the phone. Not sure how they manage that. Needs a lot more motorbike cops handing out lots of fines and points. It's the only thing they'll pay heed to. P.S. I'm also a driver, so not a cyclist v. driver thing. And they have that new articulated truck, which they're piloting. So they're up, the Gardaí have it, so they're up at a height so they can look into cars and see what the behaviour is, but they only have one. I work as a truck driver, and I've counted 279 people on phones while driving a 10-kilometre stretch of the M50. I would love a meeting with the RSA, says Robert in Westmeath. They're also idiots who drive with earbuds in. Eventually, the mobile phone will go into a little pouch in or near the seatbelt, and it will have to stay in there or the car will cut off. It's the only option. Yeah, like, because you could introduce a technological solution to it pretty straightforwardly, couldn't you? Pretty immediately.
So there is an Israeli group, and they've brought out a in-vehicle device that will kill access to signals in this driver side of the car. But it's purely at proof of concept phase, and it's like you're probably a decade away from it being implementable.
If you saw someone reading a book while driving, you'd think they were mad, but we seem to accept people reading texts or mails or whatever you're doing while driving. It's exactly the same. Reading is reading. It's really dangerous behaviour, and everyone knows that phones are the cause of most car accidents now. Enforcement needs to happen now. Thanks, Joe and Kildare. My son lives in Brisbane, Australia. They have cameras at nearly every intersection just to catch drivers on their phones. It's €1,000 fine if caught. They're very good in Australia, aren't they? When you talk about international best practice, Australia is the place you often go to for road safety.
We're good here as well,
we're
just to be
here.
Objective.
Yes.
But like the Netherlands, the Nordic countries, the Netherlands have brought in these AI-based camera systems to detect mobile phone use while driving. So have the UK, and they have it in Australia. They're having it in the States as well now. So that is up and coming way of, I suppose, people are looking at that as a way of trying to mitigate risk.
So that'd be enforcement. So
that's detection and enforcement.
Yes, yeah. And then sanction $1,000 fine in Australia, so that'd hit them where it hurts. And what about education? Because, you know, the Road Safety Authority are responsible for campaigns.
Yeah.
How can you communicate to people that reading an email or a text or posting an Instagram thing while driving is not a good idea? In fact, it's a very dangerous thing to do.
Like, the best lesson, and it's the hardest lesson, is if you're involved in a collision and you hope that will never happen. And the next best thing after that, then, the drivers we spoke to have said it, and it's also there in the evidence, is to hear the stories of drivers who have been involved in a collision. And so it allows you to take the perspective of a driver and experience anticipated regret, what it would be like if I was involved in an at-fault collision.
Yeah, so personal stories. And I think of poor Gillian every time, who lost her son as a result of a driver who had been drinking.
Yes.
And I'm just wondering, and that would be very impactful. I don't know if this has been done anywhere or if it's even possible, but if you were to have a recording of, you know, a conversation just before an accident and people heard that, they would realise, you know, how dangerous the whole thing is.
Yeah, it would bring it home. Yeah.
I don't know what the psychology of this is. Maybe you might help me on this, but reconstructions and dramatisations, are they effective?
The evidence, again, because you talk about internal and external motivators, and people, you're pushing back against dependence and habit, and the external motivation, primarily the biggest bang would be from deterrent.
Right.
No. So the rest of it then, it is in support of that. And what road safety campaigns can do very usefully is they kind of set the scene as to what's acceptable in society. So they create the value, and the value should be we don't use our phones when we're driving.
Yes.
And I think that's really helpful.
Oh, I see. So
you're talking about message design there.
Because people talk about, say, the smoking ban, the plastic bags. You know, we're brilliant at that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And you need to get to a stage where, and I think in lots of respects, drink driving isn't as acceptable as it used to be. And people,
it's creeping back in now. Like, there was recent research showing that we're developing more permissive attitudes again towards drink driving.
Yeah. That scuppers what I was going to say next. Okay. But we need to make all of those behaviours unacceptable at a societal level, so that when people are in the car doing it, that their friends feel comfortable in saying, put that phone away, Mick, will you?
Yeah. Well, I think the best gift we can do is tap our friend on the shoulder and go, look, just put it away.
Saw a truck on the M1 swaying while driving. As I passed him, I noticed that he was watching a movie on an iPad. And Phil phoned the Gardaí. I was recently coming through the M7 toll. The fob on my bus wasn't working, so I took out my phone to pay for the toll. The far side of the toll, the Gardaí stopped me for having the phone in my hand. Well, then, I suppose that's probably a good thing. You had a good excuse. Is it any more distracting speaking on hands-free than speaking to a passenger in the car?
Oh, that's a really good question.
I know the answer. My mother knows the answer.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
But you would turn to your kids and say, stop talking. I mean, if depending on the task load, I mean, this comes back to your question about what's distraction. Like, depending on what you're doing in the vehicle, it might have more or less draw on your resources and your executive functioning processing, you know, and so on. And I suppose if there is somebody in the car talking to you and it's taking away from the resources available to you, it presents probably the same collision risk. What do you think?
But as my mother would say, and your man in the Irish Times said, Cormley, I think is his name, is that if the person is sitting beside me, they are witnessing what I'm witnessing.
That's true. Yeah.
So, for example, if it's raining, if there's if there's cows up ahead or whatever, they're seeing that and they know instinctively to sort of give me a break. But it's interesting what you're saying. We'll have to talk more about this in a future date, that I suppose we have a limited amount of mental capacity and we take up a lot of that while driving, although we think it's easy. And then anything else that draws on that is going to impede our ability to drive carefully, isn't it?
That's it. Yeah. It's about resources.
About resources in our head. Yeah. Okay. Kieran Sarma, Associate Professor of Psychology at the University of Galway. Thanks so much for coming in. Thank you
very much.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.